Exodus 35, and we're going to look at this chapter tonight, take our text out of 4 and 5 and other verses in the chapter. Exodus 35, so find that chapter there in the book of Exodus, and I want to speak to you tonight, as I mentioned this morning, on the project across the parking lot, the building, and where we are and what we're looking at and moving ahead here. Chapter 35, verses 4 and 5. All right, let's stand, please, together in honor tonight of the Lord's good book. And we're reading responsively. Please join me on verse number 5. And our text says in Exodus 35 and 4, "And Moses spake unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, This is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying, Take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it, an offering of the Lord, gold and silver and brass." And I realize that's not the end of the paragraph there. I realize stopping at a comma, but when you go down through these verses, you'll find the different materials that they were to bring for the tabernacle and so forth and so on. And then we'll be referring to some verses at the close of the chapter as well. So we're going to pray and enjoy the song and jump right into the message. Dear Father, you have brought us to this place. I believe with all my heart, Lord, we have followed you. And now we're looking to you for further instruction. We're looking to you for further leadership. And God, depending on what we find out in the next 10 to 12 days, we'll know what you want us to do and how we're able to go about this thing. But Lord, it's time. It's time for us to prepare. So I pray that you'll help me tonight, help the people. Lord, may we join together in this thing as a body and move ahead. And Lord, this is it's a big thing for us, but it's a blessed thing as well. Many, many churches don't have this problem. Thousands of them across this country don't face the need that we face tonight. And it's not a burden. It's a blessing. And I thank you for it. And I just pray, God, that we'll shoulder it. And by your grace, you'll help us. I know you will. And give us the strength, Lord. Not only of resolve, but the strength of will. And we'll thank you for it. We love you. Bless the song and the message to follow in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you, BC.
Glory land is not so far away, and we'll reach it some glad day. Heaven's home is now my final goal, there to live while ages roll. What a
sing who enjoy singing. Some people want to see people be pained while they're singing. And usually the people listening are the ones in pain. Amen. So that's fun. I enjoy fun. I like to have a good time. Good singing tonight. And that's a great song. Well done. That's a blessing. Amen. Okay. I want to speak on the subject, a matter of the will. a matter of the will. I know this is 2006. I know we're in Exodus 35. I know we're talking about the children of Israel, and this is the New Testament church. And no, I don't believe that the church replaced the nation of Israel. That's covenant theology, resurgence of it in our country today. And I got a book promoting a lot of material the other day, and you homeschool families need to know this. It came from a homeschool publication and filled with homeschool materials, and the whole thing talked about building the kingdom and gaining dominion. It's not what we are doing in this day and age. Not what we're doing, folks. We're not ushering in the kingdom. We're not gaining dominion. Read your Bible. This thing, there's going to be a falling away. That's not that. I do not believe for one moment that the church replaced Israel. I believe that Israel's been put on the shelf. And it's the church age, and one of these days Jesus is coming, and we're going up to heaven, and he's going to take Israel off the shelf, and he's going to work with Israel again. They're two different entities all together. I think that's Bible. The covenant theology with its Calvinism and its Reformed theology, and your kids are going to get saved because mom and dad are saved. All that stuff is resurfacing again. Now, you better beware. And I'm not just talking to the homeschool. I'm talking to everybody, but this publication, I don't know how I got it. But it was filled with that kind of stuff, all about the kingdom, advancing the kingdom, getting ready for the kingdom. That's not what it's. We're rowing around on a lifeboat trying to pluck people out of the sea of hell, the fires of hell. That's what the church is doing. Amen. This is not the sermon, but I'm having a good time right now. Jesus went outside the city of Jerusalem, and the disciples asked him, "Okay, now you've died, you've been buried, you've risen again. Now it's time to set up the kingdom." He said, "No." He said, "You shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me." He said, "Evangelize the world." If we were going to set up the kingdom and usher in the kingdom, he would have told them right there, "You folks are going to start the church age that ushers in the kingdom." But folks, that's not going to happen. We got a tribulation. Not us, thank God, but they got a tribulation to go through. So be wary of that stuff. That stuff is subtle. And along with it comes all the Calvinism and the Reformed theology and the covenant theology that is real close to the Reformation day when churches, groups pulled away from the Catholic Church but didn't leave it completely. They didn't go far enough. Okay, now you have to understand Martin Luther and Savonarola and John Knox and John Calvin, all those men were great men, but they stayed too close to mama. And according to that book, they're all going back to mama someday. Okay, so anyway, I don't know what that has to do with what I know what it is. Yes, I know what I'm saying. The church does not replace Israel. So, but the church can learn from the nation of Israel. Jesus said, God said that in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. He said the things that happened to Israel were in samples. They were examples for our admonition upon whom the end of the world's come. So the things that happened to the nation of Israel, you and I can glean from. We're not Israel. In this day and age, in fact, there is no favor for Jew or Gentile. Everybody's saved by grace through faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. That's how it happens. So anyway, I want to speak to you on a matter of the will tonight. We need to listen carefully and follow the leadership of the Lord. Let's pray. Dear Father, bless us tonight. Give us your mind, please. May this be pleasing to you. God, I pray that you'll take us through this thing, every step of the way. I don't want to run in front of you, and I don't want to linger behind so that you've got to drag us. I want to go with you through this, with these dear people. We will thank you in Christ's name. Amen. In this chapter, it was time to build the tabernacle. The children of Israel had come out of the land of Egypt. They were on their way to the promised land. God was leading them in a pillar of cloud by day. He was leading them in a pillar of cloud by night. He wanted them to build a structure, a place where they could bring their sacrifices and their offerings, where they could assemble. And he wanted that structure to be a picture of his son, Jesus Christ. And he wanted the certain pieces of furniture in that structure to be typical of Jesus Christ. And everything about it, from the curtains to the colors to everything involved, all of it was a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me give you just one for instance. The tabernacle proper. Not the curtains that went around the courtyard, but the tabernacle proper was made of shittim wood overlaid with gold. That right there in itself is a picture of Jesus Christ. A picture of him being the God-man. All God and all man at the same time. What is more common than wood? Wood is common. That was a picture of His humanity. But that shittim wood was overlaid with gold. That's a picture of His deity. The entire structure pictured the Lord Jesus Christ, the candlestick, and the table of showbread, and the altar of incense, and out in the courtyard, the brazen altar, and the laver. All of it was a type of Jesus Christ. The colors of the tabernacle. The veil was a type of His body. And it was rent in twain there when He died on the cross. Every detail of the tabernacle spoke of Jesus. 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 And on I could go about it. Now, in preparation for this tabernacle project, God told Moses to take an offering from the people. He said, take an offering from the people. Now, I want you to understand, this offering was apart from the tithe. The tithe was already established. You say, well, of course it was established in the Old Testament law. No, 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 no. It was established before the Old Testament law. It was established with the person Abraham in the book of Genesis. No, the first they brought the tithe, the first 10% of their increase to the Lord. That was established before the law. It was commanded in the law. It was commended by Jesus Christ after the law. And it is expected throughout the age of grace. Amen. Jesus' death on the cross did not abolish the tithe. But the offering He's talking about here was an offering on top of what they were already giving. An offering beyond the tithe. And God said, Moses, He said, you tell the people that whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it. Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it. And then you read down from verses 5 through 9, and you see all the different materials and things they were asked to bring. All of this was an offering for the specific purpose of building the tabernacle. And folks, the money came from God's people. Over and above the tithe. I mean, the money came from among them for the building. Did you see the words there in verse 5? Take ye from among you. It came from them. There was nobody else to give it. It had to come from them. And so that's where it came from. It came from the people for this tabernacle. Now, I make this point because it is time. It is time for Faith Baptist Church to move forward in the next building project. It's time. Now, for some of you, you are thinking, man, hallelujah, it's about time. You say, there's nobody like that. Well, there's a lot of people like that. I get it every week. How are we doing? When are we going to move? Are we making preparation? For some of you, maybe some of the others of you are thinking, oh, no, not again. But whether side of the fence you're on, friend, I can't help it. It's time to move ahead on the project across the street. Now, I'm not promising that we'll build next spring. Not promising that at all. I think that's all in the future. But it is time, as far as knowing when to build. That's all got to be decided yet. I do know that if we break ground in the spring, more than likely, weather permitting, we can be in the facility by the end of November, middle of November next year. They're thinking 7 to 8 months to complete the project. Now, I don't know when we're going to start building, but it's time to start collecting the money to do it. And we still owe, I'm guessing, Brother Jay, it was $97,000 October 8th. 95, 94 now. I mean, approximately 94, 95,000 left on this property. That's a miracle. That's amazing. And I tip my hat and I say amen. And I say thank you for every time you bake something for the bake sale ladies. And every time you gave a stuffed animal, kiddos, for the yard mart. And every time any of you men or ladies drove a golf cart and handed out a free bottle of water to a golfer. Any time the plate passed and you put money for the building project, thank you. We have paid that money down, 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 down in a tremendous amount of time and saved thousands of dollars doing it. And I think that's pleasing to God. I know it is. And I say a big thank you. I don't know the price tag yet across the street. I know what I told them I'd like for it to come in at. I know what I told them. I said, I think, fellas, it needs to be this. And some of what you see out there on that rendering may need to be changed. Now, that's if we can afford it. The tie-in with this building is beautiful, I think. The brick and the stone and all that. But all that's subject to change. We won't cut too deeply so as not to make it a quality building. But there are a little few things that can be changed depending on the amount of money that we believe the Lord provides for us. I don't know the price tag yet. But I don't need to know the price tag to know that we need to begin to do something about it now. Now is the time. God came to Moses and He said, all right, Moses, now's the time. We're going to put the building up, and here's what you need to tell the people. And so Moses did. Let me tell you three things tonight about this, and we'll be done. Number one, there is a legitimate need. There is a legitimate need. Now, the children of Israel needed a place to assemble for sacrifice and offering. They had to have a place. And by the way, folks, this building, this tent, that's what the word tabernacle means. It means tent. It was not permanent. It transitioned with the children of Israel. It moved from location to location, like the tent that you take camping. Okay? It moved from place to place. But it was a blueprint for the permanent structure that they would build in the promised land that would be known as the temple. It was a blueprint for that. Okay? There was a need for this building. It was legitimate. Now, people, I'm saying to you and me tonight, there is a legitimate need for this project across the street. There just is a legitimate need. I am not looking for a building project just to have a project. Okay? I remember last time, I even taught about it at pastor school one year in an afternoon session. I said it's like a flatbed semi that's empty riding down Interstate 57 at 60 miles or 65 miles an hour, and then a load of steel is just dropped on the bed of that trailer. The truck may not stop, but he's sure got to gear down to handle that load. That's what a building project does to a church ministry. It's a load. It's a big thing. It's a monster. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm not looking for monsters because we got nothing else to do. Okay? And we put this thing off about as long as we can. There is a legitimate need. I'm not looking for a way to put this financial burden on us. I'm not looking for a way. I've not been out there looking for an opportunity to place a financial burden on the people of this church. But there is a legitimate need, a pressing need. I took another walk again this morning. I didn't go to the gym, but I went upstairs. I went to peeked my head, said hello to the junior high girls, Dawn Reardon and Debbie's class. And they're just chairs stacked upon chairs. Chairs upon chairs. There's no place to walk through there. And that's a good problem. And I walked down to the 4th, 5th, and 6th grade boys' class in Jorge's office. And there they were. No place to walk through. And back to the 4th, 5th, and 6th grade girls' class in the library. And chair upon chair upon chair upon chair. And no room to walk. And, that's okay. We can handle that. Well, yes, we can. But we'd like to have a place that has some space and has new people come in. They don't look in there like, good night, look at that. And there's no place to walk and there's no place to go. And let me say this, friend, what a good problem to have. You can get any kind of attitude you want about this. There's a lot of churches out there, they don't need a building because their Sunday school classrooms are empty. Now, thank God we got a problem, okay? Thank God our classrooms are full. And a lot of those classes are full at 11 o'clock. And then they're here, used again at 3 o'clock, and so forth and so on. And there's a need to get some separation. Brother Jorge is doing the best he can next to the 3, 4, and 5-year-olds. How would you like for us to have this service next to the 3, 4, and 5-year-olds every Sunday? Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. And those kids singing over there and singing. I mean, we had Sunday school in there for a while, my class. It's loud. And it's okay. I don't mind. It's lively. They need that, the 3, 4, and 5-year-olds. But I'm going to tell you something. It's not just that. It's separation. It's giving us some space. It's putting Brother Jorge and the Spanish people, don't forget about him. He's not here again anymore on Sunday mornings or Sunday nights, and even on Wednesday nights. But man, they meet up there faithfully. I tell you what, dude, come by. If you're in Bourbonnais on Thursday night, drive by here and check out the cars in the parking lot on Thursday night. That'll be a blessing to you when about 25 of those people have driven in for a Bible study on Thursday night. That's a blessing. So don't forget about them. Okay, they're up there. Their general fund offering last week was $500. That offering was $500. Plus their faith promise. Those are dear people up there. I thank God for them. Okay? So we're talking about separation. We're talking about getting a room here. We're paying $50 a week right now to Olivet to have the educable handicap class, the mentally handicapped class over there. Paying to Olivet $50 a week to have a room over there. And plans to bring those people right back over here on our property. Amen. For a service. So there is a legitimate need. Our classrooms are full on Sunday morning. Our school classrooms are full Monday through Friday in the elementary classes. They're full. And so I'm not looking for a project tonight because we have nothing better to do. This is the going thing with churches, a kind of building project, because then you'll be in with everybody else. God bless you if you're building. God bless you if you're not building. I'm not really worried about that. I didn't look for this thing, folks, that causes a problem. It's here. We're faced with it. It's time to deal with it. There's a legitimate need. Number two tonight, that God has a plan to meet the need. God has a plan. It didn't take God by surprise. Didn't take God by surprise here in the Old Testament, and it's not taking God by surprise that we need a church building and a building across the way there. The tabernacle building was a part of God's plan for this, now hear me, particular group of people. And God had the right people in the right time at the right place for this to become a reality. God had it all together in His plan. And I'm going to tell you something. Let's go back a little bit. Let's go back about 10 years. Let's go back to 1995. We started the first VU and started gathering money. God, in the first building project, He had the right people at the right time, at the right place to get this thing done. That was God's plan. And God's not behind and God's not ahead. God's right on time with us now. The people that God has assembled here on this corner is not an accident. God has brought us together for such a time as this. I believe that with all my heart. All my heart. And I mean all of us. Everybody. Every one of us is essential to the success of this project. Now listen, in a church this size, and by the way, folks, if you ever get the attitude, let's just make do with what we have, we're doing good enough. If we ever get pleased with our accomplishments instead of challenged by our commission, we're sunk. Now let that sink in. If we get satisfied with our accomplishments instead of challenged by our commission, we're sunk. Sunk. So we cannot afford. It's big enough. Leave it alone. We cannot afford that. How big do you want it? As big as God wants it. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. If He wants to take it to 10 more people, that's fine with me. If He wants to take it to 300 more people, that's fine with me. Whatever God wants. But I don't want to sit here and tell God we're done. Amen. Not going to do that. Not going to do that. God has brought us together for such a time as this. All of us, every one of us, is essential to the success of this project. And I'm going to tell you something. What this church has to do, and those of us that have been here now for 10 or 12 years, we have to go back and with character recapture the same attitude and the same spirit that we had facing that first building project when it's so much excitement and so, man, an auditorium. We have to go back and through character recapture that same spirit to move ahead in this project. Same spirit. In a church this size, there are people on both ends of the financial spectrum and at all points in between. All points in between. Now, listen to this verse. What a beautiful verse. Proverbs 22:2. The rich and the poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. That's how God does it. I wouldn't want to be a church that just had all poor people. And I wouldn't want to have a church that just had all rich people. I wouldn't want to have a church that had all middle-of-the-road, median people. I like a church that reaches all spectrums where the poor man can feel like he is a part and the rich man can feel like he is a part. And the Lord, they meet together and the Lord is the maker of them all. To me, that's perfect. That's a beautiful verse. Beautiful, beautiful verse. The poor should never assume that it is the responsibility of the rich to carry the load financially. Amen. The poor should never assume that. Well, I don't make as much as brother so-and-so, so I just can't. Oh, no. That's a wrong attitude to have, friend. No matter what, the poor should never assume that it is the responsibility of the rich to carry the load financially. And the rich should never assume that sacrifice is just for the poor. Never. That attitude has to go. That's gone. The principle that makes this whole matter work is not equal gifts, but equal sacrifice. Remember that from 10 years ago. Not equal gifts, but equal sacrifice. There's absolutely no way this thing will be a success if we determine an amount for you and say, we need you to give this amount of money every week or by month to the building project. We're not going to determine that figure. God's going to have to do that on your heart. And I'm going to tell you something, friend, that would be disaster to do it that way. Disaster to do it that way. Everybody has to find out what from God. What part do you want me to play in this? And it's not an equal gift amount. It's equal sacrifice. Not everyone can give the same dollar amount, but everyone can sacrifice. Everybody can sacrifice.
And I'll tell you something, folks. We can bring outside voices in. And I'm going against conventional wisdom here. I'm going against what the status quo is. You know, and I've even said this in places where I've helped people with their building projects. You need an outside voice to come in. But then you've got love offerings, you've got expenses, you've got honorariums, you've got to do this and you've got to do that. Do we really need an outside voice? I mean, the project is staring us in the face. Do we need somebody else to come in here and say, come on, church, rally this? No, we don't. I just think we need to see it, folks. We need to see it for what it is. Look at it and just decide as a church body, this has got to be done. This has got to happen. This thing has got to move forward. Not everyone can give the same dollar amount. But everybody can sacrifice. Now, what is not right is for part of the assembly of believers here to sacrifice and part of the assembly not to. That's disaster for a church. Once the church body takes the step of moving ahead, we need everyone to move together in this thing. That's how it works. You know, that's how your body functions. Now, yes, I understand sometimes we leave our brains at home. I understand that. Okay. But your head's not out 10 feet in front of your feet. You know, your body moves together as a, if your head, and sometimes when you do try to move faster, your head moves faster than your feet, you trip up and fall. The church body needs to move together as a group. Yes, there will be craft and bake sales. Absolutely. That's a must. There will be yard marts and there will be golf outings. That's a must. But I'm going to tell you something. Those things are all fine and dandy and they played their part. But let me tell you something. Don't overlook that weekly every time the plate passed on Sunday, many of us put that month for years. Don't neglect that. Don't overlook that, friend. A lot of us gave a lot more money to the building project than we by doing it a small amount weekly than we could have ever done in one large gift. And we can't overlook that. And that's what needs to happen. Now, we haven't done that. We've been out of that kind of thing for 3.5 years. 3.5 years it's been tithe and offering. 3.5 years. Last year was the presidential offering for the first time. 3.5 years. It's just, we're here. We're there. It's the time for this church to take that step again. This was God's plan for the Israelites in the wilderness. It was God's plan for us 11 years ago. It is God's plan for us today. Look, friend, we cannot expect Bourbonnais to build this building. We can't expect Illinois to build this building. We can't expect somebody's business to build this for us. The burden falls on us. He said, Moses, you take from among you. It is you. It is me. It is you. It is this church moving together. That is God's plan. It has worked. It worked for them. It's worked for us. It'll work again. Just take it. That's God's plan. There's a legitimate need. There's a legitimate need. I don't know what you want. I don't know any other way to address it. There's a legitimate need. And there is a plan. God has a plan to meet that need. Let me say number three tonight. Okay, there's a need, and God has a plan to meet that need. So what happens? It takes willing people to carry out God's plan to meet the need. It takes willing people. Look at what he said in verse number 5. Take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord, whosoever is of a willing heart. Willing. Look at verse number 21. Look down there. Verse number 21. And they came, everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whom his spirit made willing. Willing. And they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation for all the service for the holy garments. Verse 22. And they came, both men and women, as many as were willing. There it is again, hearted. And brought bracelets and earrings and rings and tablets, all jewels of gold. And every man that offered an offering of gold unto the Lord. Look at verse 29. The children of Israel brought a willing offering unto the Lord. Every man and woman whose heart made them willing to bring for all manner of work which the Lord had commanded to be made by the hand of Moses. You get the idea that God said this is a willing offering. Willing. The word's used 5 times in this chapter. Willing, willing, willing. You say, what's the word mean? It means volunteer. It means to present freely. It means people saying, I'll take part. I'll join in. I'll do my part. That's what willing means. It's exactly what it means. some reason I get the idea you folks aren't real excited about this tonight. Amen. I get that feeling right now. I don't know what to do, folks. I don't know what else to do. It's time to move ahead. It's time to move ahead 11 years ago. It's time to move ahead. You say, but man, it looks so big. It looked big 11 years ago, too. Sure it did. Sure it looked big. And it's not small, but I don't know what else to do. Willing, 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 willing. And January, we're going to do with the building. Pastor, we're going to do the building. I've waited as long as I can wait. I didn't feel good. I just didn't have the peace, didn't have the assurance to say, how do you know that you know? How do you know it was the right woman to marry? You just know. Waiting on God and praying about it and saying, Lord, when? And finally, it seemed like the green light came and it's time to go. It's a willing thing. Now, it's a matter of me marrying my will to do God's will. That's what it is. I got ahead of myself. Let me say this. It takes obedient people to give the tithe for the operation of the ministry. It takes obedient people. I'm pretty sure that not everyone in this church is tithing. Pretty sure of that. Don't check the tithing records. Used to, but it was so discouraging, I quit. You said, oh, it discouraged me. Oh, that's awful. But I'm sure, I'm pretty sure, I really think the offerings are good. I think in some cases that they're very good, but I think they could be better. I really do. Based on the size church we have, the number of drive-in people and the giving units and all that, I think some people tip God. I think some people talk about making, good sums of money and then give $20 in the plate. I think it happens. Okay? I don't think everybody tithes. I don't know why. I don't know why. I guess some people think I'm too poor to tithe. Others think I make too much to put all my tithe here. As far as I can read in the Bible, there's no income too low to tithe on. There's no income too high to tithe on. God brings everybody together and he says, all right, everybody tithe and put it here. To me, it's just a matter of, we want a logic and reason and all this. To me, it's just a matter of simple obedience. Bring the tithe in. Bring the tithe. First 10% of all my increase belongs here. That's where it is. The way God set it up. Now, you know what that takes? That takes obedience. That just takes simple obedience. That just takes simple obedience. And by the way, I know, I've heard it. Oh, man, how in the world? I can't afford to tithe. You can't afford not to. Can't afford not to. You're getting a financial spiral downward. And boy, oh boy, oh boy. You'll live far better on 90% than you live on 100%. I'll guarantee you. No doubt about it. It just takes obedience. But now listen. It takes willingness to put a building up. It takes willingness. This was not a tithe offering. He said, Moses, you've got to put the building up. You go to the people. You tell them everybody that's willing won't take part in it. Bring an offering for the building. Everybody that's willing. Everybody's got a willing heart. Everybody's got a willing spirit, willing attitude. Everybody that's willing. Everybody that will volunteer. Everybody that will step up to the plate. Everybody that will bring a free will offering. It takes obedience to tithe. It takes willingness to make a building become a reality. And again, that word willing means to volunteer, to present freely. I'll take my part. I'll take part. I'll join in. I'll do my part. You know what it is, folks? It's a willing. It's a matter of me marrying my will to God's will. That's what it is. You see, the only question that needs to be asked is this. Is it God's will? Is it God's will for this church? Now, I'm not talking about a lack of common sense, to jump into an $8 million. And by the way, folks, there are things that we could add to that project that would be nice to have. It would be nice to have a fellowship hall for wedding receptions and cafeteria and that kind of thing that we don't have to use, set the gym up for. But, we're not going to be crazy. We could spend $4 million easy and have a use for it. There's a way to make that thing nicer and bigger. It would be nice for our church. So I'm not saying, well, it's God's will, spend $4 million. No, no, no. There's common sense in that thing. When you get that thing down to common sense, then you ask the question, is it God's will, if it's God's will, if this project is God's will for this church, now you hear me, and I am a part of this church, then it's not a matter of can I, but will I. God has me here. And if this is His will for this church, I'm a part of this. This is not the church. This is not the church. We are the church. And if this is God's will for this church, then and I am here. I'm part of this. I'm part of it. I'm not just part of it in name. I'm part of it in heart. Then it's not a matter of can I? It's a matter of will I? It's a matter of me marrying my will to God's will. You know what Spurgeon said? I read this afternoon. Great comment. Great quote. He said, when your will is God's will, you will have your will. Oh, what a great statement. When your will is God's will, you'll have your will. It's not a matter of me and my will. It's a matter of, is it your will? Is it your will, O God? If it's your will, O God, then I'm here. I'm a part of this. Then I've got a part to play in somewhere. And I promise you, friends, some of you, all kinds, listen, when I preach a message like this, I get all kinds of reaction from all kinds of people. There are people here who do not have a whole lot of money, and they think I expect them to jump in over their head and give way beyond their means and their ability. And they always come and say, now, Pastor, and I don't expect that. I don't expect that at all. No, sir. God knows what you can do. But whatever you can do, whatever I can do, find God's will in this matter. It's a simple matter of me marrying my will to God's will. Is this your will, O God, for our church to move ahead in this project? Then am I willing to be a part of your will for this church? That's what we got to decide. That's what I have to decide. We need to move towards taking a weekly commitment that will last for a year. That's what we need to do. We're not going to do 3 years this time. We had too many people come in, and we did a poor job of incorporating new people into the giving program. And that's my fault. Some of them didn't even know it existed. What's Vision Unlimited? They didn't even know about it. That's my fault. That falls on me. And I think one way to eliminate that is to don't go the 3 years. People's financial situation changes in 12 months. Sometimes it changes for the better. Sometimes it changes for the worse. It does. I understand that. So it's going to go for 12 months for 1 year. And then we'll have to come back and revisit it. And revisit it. And revisit it. And revisit it. And just find out what God wants us to do. But we're fast approaching that time where we as a church body have got to say, okay, this is what I'll do on a weekly basis. And I don't mean what I hope I'll do. What I'll do. And we don't have time to. We don't have the time to amass a $400,000 bank account like we did last time. That was nice. We don't have time for that. That took 5 years to do. 5.5 years to amass that kind of money together. And how we don't have time for that. But the time has come. We need to take a weekly commitment that will last for 1 year. And then we will compare what we need to what has been committed, what we're already paying out on a monthly basis now at a general fund, what we're taking in right now in the plate on BU Giving, and then look at what the loan is going to cost us per month, and this is what we need to raise. And if we get it, we move ahead. And if we don't, we sit until we get it. I'm not going to jump out there into la-la land and, well, amen, hope it comes in. I want to sleep at night. Amen. I'm not going to do that. So, but whatever the weekly commitment is, as it starts to come in, we may have to say, fellas, we can't start in the spring. We're going to have to give us 6 months. Can't start 6 months. Going to have to give us a year. I don't know. I'm not putting any timetable out there for this thing. I'm just saying there's got to be a starting point, and now's the time. Got to be a starting point, and now's the time. We got to take a weekly commitment. We got to say, okay, church family, what will you do? What will you do? What will you do? We're not going to come to your house. We're not going to give you a packet. We may give you a few printed material things to help you see. We're not going to get an outside voice in here to bring a hoopla to us and try to rally the troops. Let's just look at it. Let's look at it biblically. Let's look at it reality. Let's look at it factually. There's a need. God has a plan to meet that need. And it boils down to, are we willing to move forward with this plan? Boy, that's simple, isn't it? That's simple. We're going to make a decision on when to begin the project. So are you willing? The church has to be willing. The church has to be willing to move ahead in this thing. The church has to be willing to say, you know what, the need is there. We see it, And Bourbonnais is not going to build it for us. Illinois is not going to build it for us. And the business world is not going to build it for us. It's going to be from us. God's going to have to help us do it. And I'll be honest with you, folks. When I looked at that thing last time, it was huge. And when I look at it this time, it's huge. But God proved Himself faithful. A lot of folks gave. People gave up money they had for vacation. People gave up money they had set aside for a different car. But in most cases, families of this church have improved themselves in the last 11 years. And that includes people who gave and gave regularly to the building fund. The Lord will be debtor to no man. Amen. He'll be debtor to no man. So are you willing? It's a matter of a willing heart. It's a matter of a willing spirit. It's a matter of just saying, Lord, I see the need. Here's your plan. I want to be a part of it. Now, when will that come? Probably the next several weeks. I'll probably address the issue, maybe not next Sunday night, but again, in a couple of weeks. So it's here. It's time. I'm going to look it square in the face and trust God. And when God says go, we need to be ready. Amen. That's where we're at. It's a matter of the will. Let's bow our heads and pray together. Thank you for listening tonight. But dear Lord, I pray that you'll please bless this church. It's a big step for us, oh God. It's a big step for this congregation. But Lord, I believe with all my heart it's time. The need is right here in front of us. It's there. We're not making this up, Lord. We're not dreaming this. It's upon us. I pray and ask, oh God and Heavenly Father, that you'll begin to work very quietly and confidently in the heart of every person in this church. Lord, you have us here, the people that are here in this place right now for a purpose. Oh God, may we know and realize that purpose. May we not be afraid to be a part of it. Speak to our hearts, oh God, please, please, I beg you to be in the, Lord, may we not just be in this thing, but may we follow you in this thing. Lead us every step of the way. God, as we did 10 years ago, may we see your hand work in blessed ways. We'll thank you for it. Bless our church. Bless the future of this assembly is my prayer in Christ's name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Pastor Angel, I'm not saved. Pray for me. My problem is not an unwilling heart when it comes to giving. My problem is I'm just not born into God's family. That's why I have such a hard time living the Christian life. Not saved. Pray for me. Anybody like that here tonight? Would you raise your hand? All right. If you need to be baptized to follow the Lord in believer's baptism, then we have that ready for you tonight. You come right to Brother Caleb and say, I need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. And I'm not expecting a huge turnout at the altar tonight. I'm not expecting you to do that. I just want to ask you, church, I hope that you'll take some time the next several days. Now, we've been talking about it for a long time, a couple, 3 months. Time is here. You prayerfully consider that. Prayerfully think about that in the days to come. Begin to pray, oh God, what would you have me to do? Some of you have come to me and you said, Pastor, I'm ready. I'm ready to be a part of it. I thank you for that. It's a matter of willingness. It's a matter of me being willing, you being willing. May God work on our hearts in the days to come. Let's stand together, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. We'll always give an invitation, ladies, when you play. May the Lord help us tonight in the church. May the Lord help us tonight. Take the next step. Move ahead. Would you come? Would you come to see me? Are you willing? Don't meet it with a resistant spirit, a resistant attitude. God, what is your will for my life? In this church, in this particular faith, while we wait tonight, just a few moments, you know.